Now, with the latest from the world of technology, this is the Tech Guide Podcast with Stephen Fenwick.
Lots to talk about.
Tech Guide.
It's a very well-rounded product, combines great design, great technology, lots of excellent features.
Tech Guide.
This is why Samsung has seen a huge surge, why their profits are up.
Keeping you updated and educated, this is the Tech Guide Podcast.
This is not an ultrabook. If you're looking for something small, slim and lightweight, then you need to look elsewhere.
Tech Guide.
Probably one of the most impressive little devices I've seen in quite a while.
Now, from the studios of techguide.com.au, Stephen Fenwick.
Hello and welcome to Tech Guide episode 84, the podcast that keeps you updated and educated about the latest consumer technology. Thanks for listening and thanks for downloading. My name is Stephen Fenwick, editor of techguide.com.au. And on this week's show, we're going to talk about the latest Facebook privacy controversy, the new range of LTIT products, and the app that can turn your smartphone into an in-car crash cam. We'll also check out the new BenQ monitor that's easy on your eyes, the new Golf Buddy VT3 Golf GPS watch, and it can talk to you, as well as the new Netgear Nighthawk 802.11ac smart Wi-Fi router. And in this week's Tech Guide Help Desk, we'll talk about erasing your smartphone and also saving your Outlook inbox and folders. And it's all brought to you by Netgear, Australia's number one brand of home Wi-Fi products. A massive show this week on Tech Guide. Well, Facebook privacy is back in the headlines once again, and it's been a while since we've mentioned Facebook privacy, as a matter of fact. It was an issue that raised its head a few years ago now. Facebook then went along and streamlined all the settings on the site as well, so they've made it a lot easier to control your privacy, who sees your content, how you can be contacted, how ads are served up to you, things like that. But the latest controversy, though, comes from, it was actually a case that was supposedly settled back in 2011. It was a class action lawsuit over Facebook's use of people's images in their advertising. Now, they call these advertisements sponsored stories. The issue was from an advocacy group, parents group, that were concerned that their children's images were being used by Facebook in these ads. So at the time, Facebook offered a $20 million settlement to these users in the form of a charitable donation in the hope that it was going to settle the case. Well, just last week, this non-profit organization called Public Citizen decided that they were going to reject that settlement and filed an appeal in California to continue the case. Now, Facebook would the objection here by parents is that Facebook using images of minors without their parents' permission. Now, Facebook's argument was the fact that these children or these teenagers were already sharing information. Say, for example, a child would like a page, say a band or some kind of brand or a celebrity. Facebook argues that this information has already been shared voluntarily on their social network to their friends. So they're saying that all they've done is taken that information and just shown it to the same people. So these ads were popping up in the news feeds of these children's friends. So say for example, liked Empire of the Sun's page on Facebook. And if Facebook decided with Empire of the Sun to run an ad, they could say that, have used my image and my name to say, check out our latest album, you know, and use my name and image in that advertisement. Some people are a little bit uncomfortable with that, especially parents who didn't offer permission for their children to be used in such a way. The concern from the Public Citizen group said that it's one thing to like a brand or a celebrity on Facebook and share it with your friends, but to be featured in an ad for that brand or celebrity has really crossed the line. So that is the crux of this privacy issue that we're seeing here with Facebook. Facebook, though, claims they're being quite transparent. And a statement from one of their spokesmen, Jody Seth, reads, "The court-approved settlement provides substantial benefits to everyone on Facebook, including teens and their parents, and goes beyond what any other company has done to provide consumers visibility into and control over their information in advertising." So in other words, they're saying that we're sharing this anyway. It's quite transparent. The fact that permission wasn't sought in some cases what's being argued here. Apparently, California and six other U.S. states have made this practice, so using children's pictures without parental approval, illegal. So this argument is going to continue for a little while yet. Facebook has wrestled with privacy issues for many years now. I think there's a lot of people who are concerned with the amount of information we share, who can see our information, and in the most recent update of the settings, where Facebook, as I mentioned, streamlined these settings, it's gone from being a two-page long settings page to being just a short half page that is quite easy to manage, and you can manage who looks at your profile, what information you share, who sees that information. In fact, when you are sharing any status, any post on Facebook, there is actually on that status the ability to change who actually sees that what you're sharing. So right there on your homepage of Facebook, when you're sharing your status, it is possible to control exactly who does see your stuff. Another concern is the sharing of information. Now, Facebook is a free service. A lot of people are using this. There's more than 1.3 billion users. And I think it's not unreasonable to expect that for your free use of a site like Facebook, that they want to use some data to help them generate revenue. Now, they're not going to use your name, your address, and any specific details about you in particular, but they will know your age, your likes, what you prefer based on your Facebook profile and your use of the network, just so they can actually steer ads that may be relevant to your interest. Now, they state quite clearly that they never actually take that information off Facebook to sell to advertisers, where advertisers come to Facebook and when they want to target a particular demographic, whether it's men, women, different age groups, different interests, then that ad is then directed by Facebook to those relevant users. So that information, that data about their users is never sold to an advertiser. It's the advertiser who selects their demographic and then Facebook that directs it to these relevant users. So none of your information is being sold. None of it's going off site. You can actually control the ads that you view and whether you're included in some of these ads as well. So issue there for Facebook to look after. I think this is going to go on for a little while. Facebook, it's even though it's 10 years old, these issues are still relatively new in the grand scheme of things. And Facebook is an evolving company that's no doubt going to come up with a solution that's going to keep everyone happy, keep the users happy, so that these issues will no longer be brought up and everyone will be comfortable in the way they run the social network.
Keeping you updated and educated. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Finney.
Tech Guide.
Well, LG have hit the ground running in 2014 with their IT product range. Now, this is a range that LG is slowly developing. They haven't been as upfront with these devices. There hasn't been too many IT devices, but at CES, that was a different case where they showcased a number of exciting new IT products. And at the same time comes news that Sony are selling off their VAIO laptop line. There's even even talk that Samsung are sort of pulling back in the IT space, not just here in Australia, but around the world. So LG, though, continue to sort of come out on the front foot with their new IT products. Now, they include a Chrome-based all-in-one desktop computer, a 34-inch ultra-wide 21x9 monitor, and the LG Ultra PC, just their little Ultrabook laptop there. Let's start off with the Chrome-based, though. This is an all-in-one desktop. It's priced only at $599. Now, you've heard of the Chromebooks. These are the laptops that are running the Chrome OS system. So they're based purely off the Google Chrome browser. So you can access all the kinds of Google services, Google products, and it is a lot of the processing happens off the device. So there's the specs on board are more like a tablet or a smartphone. So the heavy lifting is done offline by Google themselves. And as a result, you get a very affordable product. In the case of a Chromebook, they're about $399. In the case of LG's Chromebase, this all-in-one desktop, so not only do you get the internal, the 2 gig RAM, 16 gig of internal storage, you also get a 21.5-inch full high-def monitor. So that screen, matching keyboard and mouse, all that for $599. And it operates in a similar way as the Chromebooks do. So all that, the cloud-based operating system means, because all the processing and storage is happening off the device, it's quite fast. So it starts up in a few seconds. And as I mentioned, you can take advantage of all these Google online products. So Gmail, Google Docs, Google Drive. You can even access different apps using the Chrome browser as well. Moving on to the next product. This is a real head turner, this device. This is a ultra-wide, high-definition 34-inch 21x9 monitor. This is an ultra-wide screen monitor. So corner to corner, it's 34 inches. And it's like sitting two large monitors side by side. It's a lot of people use two monitors at once to give themselves extra screen real estate. Well, with LG's new ultra-wide monitor, you only need the one, and there's plenty of room to divide that space up for multitasking. It's got a 34-inch screen, as I mentioned, with a resolution of 3440 by 1440, 5-millisecond response time, and it can be used not only with PCs, but also with a Mac. It's got Thunderbolt 2 ports on the back. So if you've got a new Mac Pro or a Mac Mini, or a MacBook Pro that you maybe want to attach to an external monitor, you can do that now with the LG ultra-wide 34-inch 21x9. It is a bit of a mouthful, but it is a big monitor. That's going to be available in the coming weeks as well, priced at $1,299. Lastly, on the LG IT front is going to be their new Ultra PC. This is a 13.3-inch full HD display running Windows 8.1. And being an Ultrabook, it's really thin and really light. Thin, it's only 13.6 millimeters. And light, it's only a kilogram, so very, very portable, available in a number of colors as well. It's got a really narrow bezel too, so it fits in that 13.3-inch screen in a space that's probably normally reserved for a smaller screen. So you're getting bigger screen in a smaller product, and it's also running your choice of either an i5 or i7 Intel Core processor. That's going to be coming out in the coming weeks also, priced at $1,299. And if you want to read more about those products, you can do it at techguide.com.au. Now, we've all heard of the in-car crash cams. They're quite a popular product nowadays. Companies like Uniden, Garmin, Navman, they've all got their own product that actually is a camera that can capture any on-road incidents. Now, these dedicated products are worth $200-$300 and can record any that they can react or activate when it suspects any kind of sudden movement, whether it's heavy braking, change of direction, and they are a really good way to prove your side of the story in the case of an on-road incident. Well, for those who don't really want to lash out on those products and don't want to actually have an extra product in their car, they can also now use the new Uniden Crash Cam. This is an app, a crash cam app, priced at $4.49, that basically turns your smartphone into the in-car recorder. So all smartphones have cameras. All smartphones have accelerometers and ways to detect sudden movement. So Uniden have quite cleverly put together this app so that it turns your iPhone or Android device into a crash cam. Now, the crash cam, like its bigger brothers and more expensive bigger brothers, can react in the same way. So it utilizes the camera and the processing power on board to record anything that happens on the road, and the built-in the app taps into the phone's sensors so that can trigger recording immediately whenever it senses any sudden changes. Now, also recorded is your location, and it will plot that on a map as well as shooting the video. So you got all that information. It's got the date, the timestamp. It uses loop recording, so it's continually recording audio and video. Say you go on a journey that's 10 minutes, 20 minutes long, nothing happens. That loop then will be recorded over the next time. It only keeps what you decide it to keep, because it only reacts and starts recording when it does sense that sudden movement, you have to remember. There's also a still photo function, so you can actually take it and out of the vehicle, and if you need to snap some photos to show damage or other kinds of things at the scene, they can also be stored inside the Crash Cam app also. Any video and audio and even still pictures can be stored not only inside the Uniden app, but also on your camera roll and on your device as well. So if you want to stay protected out there and maybe prove your side of the story, because this audio and video and still images can be used as evidence for police, for insurance company claims. So it's really good to have this kind of backup, and it's very affordable, $4.49 if you already have a smartphone. So if you need to prove your side of the story, then this is one way you can do it. Uniden also have their full dedicated crash cam devices, the iGo Cam 820 and the iGo Cam 850. But if you want to start off for $4.49, that's pretty decent value. The iPhone version is available right now, and you can then get the Android version for the same price, $4.49. That will be available from March the 1st. If you want to read more about the Uniden Crash Cam app, you can read all about it at techguide.com.au.
Tech Guide. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenwick.
The Tech Guide podcast is proudly brought to you by Netgear, Australia's number one Wi-Fi brand. Well, introducing Netgear's latest product, the Nighthawk AC1900 Smart Wi-Fi Router. We're actually going to review this router later on in the program. You can get the fastest Wi-Fi currently available with the Netgear R7000 Nighthawk Smart Wi-Fi Router. Built with gaming, streaming, and mobile devices in mind, this next generation gigabit Wi-Fi router has a 1 gigahertz dual-core processor and delivers the ultimate in Wi-Fi speed and range, so you can enjoy lag-free gaming or video streaming with less buffering around your home. The Netgear Nighthawk is packed with advanced features, from prioritizing gaming, music, and video, and streaming to automatic backup using ReadyShare Vault for PCs and Macs using Apple's Time Machine. So if you're looking for the ultimate in speed, range, and advanced features for your home network, upgrade to the Netgear Nighthawk R7000 Smart Wi-Fi Router and get ready for the extreme. Check out the Nighthawk at netgear.com.au/Nighthawk.
Tech Guide. Now, a Tech Guide review with Stephen Fenwick. Tech Guide.
Now, just think of how much time we spend looking at a computer monitor. I myself spend a lot of time, many hours every day, whether it's my monitor on my computer, on my laptop, might be a screen on your iPad, your tablet, your smartphone. Looking at a computer monitor for extended periods has proven to be can cause eye irritation and eye discomfort. Now, it's not just discomfort it can cause. It can also lead to more serious problems like difficulty focusing, blurred vision, even headaches and migraines. So what can we do about this? That's a question that Ben Q has asked with the new range of EW40 flicker-free monitors that incorporate a brand new feature that is easy on your eyes. It's called LBL, which is short for low blue light. Now, Research has already proven that using a monitor can affect your eyes. Ophthalmologists agree there are real dangers. And one of the reasons for there are dangers is because of the blue light that LCD screens currently emit. There is actually a blue light that comes out of these monitors that can make your eyes sore, irritated, and possibly lead to these other problems. So with this blue light hazard, as it's called, it can also lead to other retinal problems, even things like macular degeneration in people. So with that in mind, BenQ's answer was to try to filter out this blue light, which is exactly what they've done with the new EW40 monitors. So they've reduced blue light emission by up to 70%. It's actually the first of its kind in the world to consider this for their users. Now, you think of the possible long-term effects of our eyes on the screen. Like, oh, you often get sore eyes and dry eyes and even headaches. Now, imagine that prolonged over a long period. It's really not the healthiest option for your eyes and for your body. So with these monitors, BenQ, I think, are going to attract a fair bit of interest. But apart from them being easy on your eyes, they've also got a really nice design. They've got an ultra-thin bezel, and they've also got a patented smartphone holder available in two sizes, 24 inches. That'll cost you $249, and 27 inches, which is $309. They've also got ways to, with that smartphone holder, they've also got a connection so you can directly link your smartphone to the monitor so you can actually enjoy your content from your smartphone on the new BenQ monitor as well. So not only are they handy, they're also going to look after your eyes too. The EW40 monitor, you want to see what it looks like, you can check it out at techguide.com.au.
This is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenwick.
Tech Guide.
Keeping you updated and educated.
Now, I like my golf. There's plenty of people who love playing golf as well, and many of us, myself included, have resorted to using technology to help us gain the upper hand, to cut a few strokes off our game. The latest product that I've come across is from Golf Buddy, and it's the VT3, the world's first talking GPS smartwatch. Now, Golf Buddy are well known for producing a number of good golfing devices, GPS devices as well. They've had the Golf Voice. I think what they've done with the VT3 is combined a couple of their products into one. They've had the Golf Buddy Voice, which is just basically a range finder that just simply reads out a distance from where you're standing to the green. But with the VT3, they've sort of combined all their skills, all their features, including GPS, a touchscreen, voice as well, all in the one device. Now, on board are more than 37,000 courses preloaded in the memory, and of those there are more than 10,000 in Australia, so Australian courses should be well covered. So wherever you are, it'll detect whether you're standing on a particular golf course anywhere in the world, and then based on your position it'll know what hole you're on and how far you have to the front of the green, to the hole, to various hazards as well. And you can look at that right on your wrist. If you want to wear it that way, you can even unclip the screen, wear it on your belt, wear it on your shirt, clip it to your bag. So it's up to you where you want to position that 1.5-inch display. It's not too big to wear as a watch. Personally, I'd wear mine as a watch. I have worn mine as a watch. So it's really easy to just simply a turn of your wrist. You can see exactly how far you have to the hole. You don't even have to look at the screen because it can also tell you how far it is to the hole. It's like a little caddy strapped to your wrist. Now, what you can do as well, it's got dynamic green view, so you can actually touch and hold the pin position so it can reflect the pin position of the day, because they move the flag around the green depending on the day you're playing, whether it's competition or what day of the week it is. So you can easily move it to approximate the position of the pin so you can get a more accurate distance as well. Apart from it being a GPS, it's also an odometer, so it can count your steps, and of course it can tell the time. It can also keep score. It can also measure how far you hit each shot. So if you want to record record, say, a distance you hit a six iron with, it can give you that pretty accurate measurement, and then possibly even suggest a club. So if it knows you hit a six iron 180 metres, then if you're 180 metres out from the hole, it may suggest a six iron, or will let you know that you usually hit a six iron that distance, so that it will give you that option as well. It's pretty light too. It's only 27 grams, so it's not going to really weigh down your wrist. As I mentioned, you can clip it to a hat, a belt, or a shirt. It's got a built-in lithium-ion battery, so it's got a 10-hour charge. So that's enough for a couple of rounds of golf. But best of all, there are no other fees when you get this device. A lot of people think, well, every time I access a golf course, I've got to download something, it's going to cost me money. Not at all. The VT3 from Golf Buddy is priced at $399, ready to go out of the box. And as I mentioned, no other fees, no hidden costs, no membership fees. It's just you, the Golf Buddy VT3, a few golf balls and your golf clubs. So maybe you can even slash a few shots off your score. As I mentioned, Netgear are the sponsors of the Tech Guide podcast, but we are actually reviewing the Netgear Nighthawk as well. Now, this is an all-new smart Wi-Fi router that we've been testing here in the Tech Guide studios. This is an 802.11ac router. That's the very latest Wi-Fi standard, up to three times faster than the current 802.11, or I should say the older 802.11n standard. The reason it can increase this speed, it uses what they call beam-forming technology. So rather than it radiating the network and hoping to catch your device, it can actually lock onto your device directly using this beam-forming technology. So it shoots a beam straight out to your device for a further extended connection. So the range of this device is also improved as well. Now, we should say that the design of this is pretty aggressive. The Netgear Nighthawk looks like a stealth bomber. It's got all these sharp angles, gunmetal grey colour. It looks like it means business. But it's not just the looks that actually get you across the line. It's what's under the hood that really makes a difference. And that's starting off with the 1 gigahertz dual-core processor, the only router on the market with a dual-core 1 gigahertz processor. So right out of the gate, it's got speed in mind for operation, but also to get you the fastest possible connection. Speaking of connections, what it can also do, being dual band, it can also prioritize the different activities on your network. Say, for example, you're a gamer, you're online, speed's very important, your reaction time's very important. That is something that the Netgear Nighthawk can appreciate, and it can prioritize that stream. Or same thing goes with if you're streaming video, for example, you want to watch a movie, you're streaming it off the web or whatever you're doing. It can also prioritize that stream so you get smoother, stutter-free, no buffering. You can watch it quite smoothly. It will prioritize that signal. It's also got QoS, which is short for quality of service, and that also goes a long way to that less interference and also getting that smoother, faster performance across the board. The two networks, 2.4 gigahertz network, 5 gigahertz network, so you can automatically choose which one you want to be on, and it will prioritize then that stream automatically. So this is a really cool feature for those who are using their Wi-Fi network not just to connect to the internet, but also for entertainment and gaming purposes as well. We should also mention there are two USB ports on board here, one USB 3 and a USB 2. And the reason that these can be utilized is to say you've got an external hard drive that you want to then put on the network, simply connect it. You may want to connect a printer, turn it into a network printer. This can be done with the Netgear Nighthawk. Now, other features, is its ability for these automatic backups. Now, on a PC, you can use ReadyShare, which is an automatic backup for PCs. Mac users will know Time Machine. That's the automatic backup for Macs, and it can do it wirelessly using the Netgear Nighthawk. So you may have, say, a desktop hardwired to your external hard drive. It may be also connected to the network using one of those USB ports. So then you can can then access that time machine feature wirelessly, say with a laptop or other laptops on your network. The Netgear Genie app too is a quite handy one. That's been around a little while, but it really comes into its own with the Netgear Nighthawk. So it allows you to control the network. You may want to change the SSID, the name of your network. You may want to change the password. You may have a guest. You may just want to give them guest access without giving away your network password. So it creates a little guest network. Also incorporates parental controls. So if you may be a family with young children, you can actually control any connected device on the network. So you know that Junior's got an iPad or Johnny's got a laptop. You can know exactly which device is connected to the network and control what the network allows those devices to access. So offers a lot of peace of mind for parents as well. The Netgear Nighthawk AC1900 Smart Wi-Fi Router is available now and priced at $399. And you can read our full review at TechGuide.com.au.
Tech Guide. Now, answering all your tech questions, the Tech Guide Help Desk.
A couple of questions on the Tech Guide Help Desk this week. One comes from Chris Ludlow, and his question was, "Hi Steve, if you erase your phone back to factory settings, will it also go back to the original operating system?" Thanks for your question, Chris. The answer to that is no, it won't. If you update whether it's an iPhone, Android, if you update the operating system, that becomes a core part of the device that cannot be erased. The only way you can go back to another operating system is if you restore the device, re-image the device to the older firmware, but you need to have that firmware, the file to install that older firmware. So yes, you can resort back to factory settings. Say you may be giving your phone away, you're handing it down to a child. You can erase all of your content, get it back to factory settings like it's brand new out of the box. But if you have done a software update in the meantime, it's going to stay at that later software. The iPhone users who weren't really happy with iOS 7 were thinking, well, if I restore this device, it's going to go back to iOS 6. The bad news is, no, it's not. It's going to stay at iOS 7 unless you physically downgrade it, choose the restore, and then install an older version of the operating system. But you have to have that older version of the operating system on your desktop in your computer to achieve that. So thanks, Chris, for your question. Doing the factory reset won't set you back to the original operating system. It takes a little bit more work to do that. Next question comes from Arno, who was asking, they need to export their Outlook folders, so their actual inbox and folders, from one computer to another. Best thing to do is, if you want to do that, you need to save what they call the .pst file. So that's a PST archive. So not only will it have all your messages in this file, as well as all your folders, you save that. And then once you've set up your new computer, got Outlook running, you import then the PST files. And then bang, bang, abracadabra, your folders and your emails will then magically appear in the new version of Outlook. So it's the PST files that you need to look for and save. Put them on a USB, put them on a hard drive, and save them across to the new computer to restore your email to its original condition. And that's it for us for another week. Head over to techguide.com.au if you want to read more about what you've heard on today's show. You can also get in touch by email at info@techguide.com.au. You can also tap into the Tech Guide forum if you want to forward a question, maybe answer someone's question, or get your own questions answered. Special thanks too to our sponsors Netgear, the brand you can trust for all your Wi-Fi needs. We look forward to your company again next week. So until then, stay safe and stay connected.